Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Man, it's really cool when God orchestrates things, because again, I didn't plan it this way, but my message this morning deals with going and telling people about Jesus, teaching the law, teaching the truth of what we have learned to others, kind of what Jessica's getting ready to do in another country. And again, I didn't plan it that way. God always orchestrates everything and puts everything together the way that He would have it. And so when I started to work at McDonald's, I had no clue what to do. You know, when I got hired, I came in, I didn't know how to make anything or do anything. Someone had to come along and teach me what I needed to do and how I needed to do it. I had to have them show me how to properly work the equipment and put together the sandwiches. By the time I left McDonald's, there was little that I did not know how to do. I even knew how to fix the shake machine so it wasn't down all the time. As I learned what to do and how to work at McDonald's, I then was to pass that knowledge on to others so that they knew the right way and the proper procedures as well. No matter what your job is, someone taught you how to do it. If you're self-taught, you probably read a book or watched a video, or watched someone else do it. As Christians, we must pass on our knowledge about Jesus and His teachings. What we have learned, we must tell others. And so as pastor, I work to teach you the truth of what the Word says so that you, in turn, can go and teach others as well. Deuteronomy is coming to an end, and Moses shares with the people that they are to hear and heed the words of the law that he has written down for them, that they are to pass it on so that all know. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 9, the Word of God reads, "So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones, and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law, and that their children, who have not known it, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage that you give to us and the opportunity to hear what you would say to us today. Lord, we thank you for your incredible word, and I pray that we would see it as a blessing. Lord, I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up, and I pray, awesome Father, that you would speak to our hearts through the incredible beauty of your word this day. Lord, we thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So the first thing that we see is the word written. It says, "So Moses wrote this law and delivered it to the priests, the sons of Levi, who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel." So Moses writes down the law of God and gives it to the people. The commands and words that God gave to Moses, he now writes down so that the people will always have them with him. And as Moses wrote it down, he gave it to the priests. He wanted to ensure that everyone had a record of the word. The law was given to Moses by God, who then writes it down and gives it to the priest, who is then to give it to the people. So we see the progression of how the word of God is to work. God spoke to Moses. Moses writes it down, gives it to the priest. The priests were then responsible for teaching the people, and then the people were then responsible for teaching the other nations. And so we see the progression, and we see the responsibility and the duty of all the people of God to teach the word of God. And so the priest's duty was to keep this law safe and ensure that it was taught to the people. Moses gave them a written record of what God expected of them so that they would know how to live and act when they went into the promised land. And so there was no excuse. The people couldn't come along and say, well, I didn't know that. Well, the law's written down and you're supposed to be paying attention to it. And so Moses gave it to them. And so it was important. Here's some interesting things. They were to read it every 7 years. Well, it was important for the law to be repeated. Sometimes we need to hear the same things over and over again because we're stubborn people. You know, sometimes we need to hear the same thing. Sometimes we need to hear, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is right, this is right. This is what we need to do. Sometimes we need that repetition because we are a stubborn people. We clearly see that the people of Israel fell into that category. Well, sometimes we need to hear the same thing again because someone's different here to hear it this time. And so there's somebody new that needs to hear it that didn't hear it the first time. Every 7 years at a particular time, all the people were to come together so that they could hear the law of God and to live it out. Now, for us, 7 years might seem like a long time. Now, there's probably some of you here today that's probably like, man, I wish I only had to go to church every 7 years. And some of you only do come. No. but there's some that's probably like, but we need to understand a couple things. At this time, this very well may have been the only written copy of the Word of God. Moses wrote this law down and gave it. So, you know, these people lived all spread out. And if this was the only copy, they would come every 7 years to this specific time at this specific place to hear the message of the Lord. We are blessed by the access that we have to the Word of God today. And sometimes we take this for granted. We have it in many different written forms. You could get a hardback. You can get a paperback. You can get it leather-like. You can even get premium goat skin leather. We have it on our devices. There are all these free apps out there with multiple translations, and these apps will even read the Bible to you. And so we have no excuse when it comes to the Bible because we have it in translations we can read and understand, and yes, it is okay to read modern translations. Now, there are some bad ones, but there are a lot of really good ones. And there is nothing unbiblical or ungodly of reading the Bible in a translation other than the King James or the New King James. And there's so many different options out there. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. We should never take for granted the access to the Word of God we have. There are people out there that have little or no access to the Word of God. They're what we call unreached, unengaged people groups. And there are places around our world, there are places around the country where there is little or no access to the message of God. And here we have it. And how many of us have our Bibles sitting on shelves collecting dust where we never pick them up, open them up, or read them when people in other parts of the world are starving for the message of Jesus? You see, here they came every 7 years because this at that time might have been the only copy. Remember, they didn't have printing presses. They didn't have apps. They didn't have the access that we have today. And so it was given to the priest in order to protect it. So Moses handed it to the priest and said, all right, this sacred scripture, this incredible copy of the Word of God, I'm giving to you to keep and to protect and to teach the people. You know, the priest needed to teach it and the people needed to hear it. Guess what? Pastors need to teach it and the people need to hear it. Parents need to teach it and their children need to hear it. By reading this law often, all would know how to follow after the Lord. The real legacy to leave behind is a legacy of love for the Lord and for His Word. The legacy that we need to be teaching our children is the value of the Word of God. And again, I'm not trying to hurt any feelings. I'm not trying to step on any toes. But this Word is so much more valuable than how far your kid can throw a football. Or hit a baseball. Or hit a softball. This is so much more valuable. Are we teaching our children the value of the Word of God? Are we teaching them the value of what is written here? That this has eternal value. Are we leaving a legacy of love for the Word of God? Do our children see that we love the Bible? That we love the Word of God? Do they understand how important it is to us? Do they see us reading it? Do they know, oh, it's Bible time, I need to be quiet right now while mommy and daddy read their Bible? The real legacy is, are we teaching people the value of the Word? The priests were to preserve the law and keep it safe so that every generation could know what God expects of them. Today, we are to preserve the law and keep it safe so that every generation can know what God expects of them. We have the Word of God, and we should protect it. First, we must understand that the Bible is God's Word given to us. Even though it has been translated out of Hebrew and Greek, even though it has been translated into many different translations, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what we have today is what God intended for us to have. There is more manuscripts, that is handwritten documents, to prove that the Bible that we have today is true, trustworthy, and accurate than any other book or document in history. So there is no doubt that we can trust that what we have today is God's Word. Peter illuminates this even further in his letter where he writes, "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory that came from heaven. When we were with Him on the sacred mountain, we also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you do well to pay attention to it and to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And so what does that tell us? Even though men physically wrote the Bible, the Holy Spirit was behind every word. And so we can trust that the Holy Spirit of God kept the Word accurate to what we have today. The purpose of modern translations is to help us understand it better, one. And two, words change over time. You guys know that certain words that you said when you were growing up don't mean what they used to. And so translations help us to understand. And so even though the Bible was written by men, even though it's been translated by men, we can understand that the power of the Holy Spirit has helped us to keep what was written to what we have today. And so we are to take that written word and we are to teach it to others. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who also be qualified to teach others." So Paul is telling young Timothy, what you've heard me say, you teach, and the people that you teach are to teach. He says later in Timothy, "Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." And then Paul also says in Titus, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith. in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. And so Paul, in multiple places, tells his people that they are to teach what they are taught, and then those that they teach are to teach. And so what we see here is this, what we call an endless process of discipleship. Everything that I have learned about the truth of the gospel, everything that I have learned about the Bible, I'm to teach. And then everything that you have learned, you are to teach. And everything that the people you teach learn, they are to teach. It is a constant cycle of discipleship. God's word should be a treasure that we keep in our hearts to draw us closer to Him. Psalm 119:11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:101, I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. Psalm 119:102, I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. Listen to what some of the others that have gone before us say about the word of God. John Calvin said, wherever we see the word of God purely preached and heard, there a church of God exists, even if it swarms with many faults. I like that. Wherever we see the word of God purely preached and heard, there a church of God exists, even if it swarms with many faults. Martin Luther said, the world is conquered by the word, and by the word, the church is served and rebuilt. Charles Spurgeon said, I would rather speak 5 words out of this book than 50,000 words of the philosophers. If we want revivals, we must revive our reverence for the word of God. If we want conversions, we must put more of God's word into our sermons. We need the word of God. And then Warren Wiersbe says, God rules his world through his word, and God's people must respect his word and obey it. God has given his people the truth of his word, and we must guard it, obey it, and pass it along to the next generation. In the book of Ezra, we see Ezra the priest putting these truths into practice. Ezra 7:10 says, for Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws to Israel. We have the law of the Lord and we must teach it to all people. How do we view the Bible today? How do we view the Bible? How are we teaching it to others? Just a few things for us to think about. So the first thing that we see is the word written. The second thing that we see is the word to the people. Verse 10 through 12 says, and Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time, in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and little ones and the stranger who is within your gates, that they may hear and that they may learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully observe or obey all the words of this law. So when they came together, it was a joyous time. It was the year of release, or another way of looking at it, it was the year where they were to cancel the debts. There was a time when the people of Israel were to come together to cancel all debts so that there would be no poor people among the people. And so this was a joyous time. And when the word was to be read, it was joyous. Anytime the people of God can appear before him and hear his words, it should be a joyous time. You and I should enjoy coming to church and hearing the word of God. Anytime we come together to enjoy the word of God, anytime that we come together to hear the word of God, anytime we come together to see what God has to say to us, it should be a joyous time. And it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I see the number of people who come to special events but won't come to Bible study to hear what God has to say to them. And we'll come on a Wednesday night to a business meeting if it's controversy, but we ain't coming to a Wednesday night when the Bible's being taught. Because we don't want to hear the Bible taught, but we want to come to a business meeting and say our opinion. but we ain't going to come when the Bible's being taught. No, we don't want that. It breaks my heart. I've never understood that. It's not just here. It's in every church that I've ever been at. You've got to beg people to come to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. But if there's a business meeting or something special going on Sunday or Wednesday nights, you better believe they're going to be there. But I'm not going to come to hear the Word of God. That breaks my heart. I don't understand it. I don't get it. It's like we've lost our love for the Word of God. It's like it doesn't matter to us anymore. How many of us are actually opening it and reading it every day? How many of us are studying it, digging deep into what it has to say? Every time we come together, it should be a joyous time. When we get up on Sunday mornings, we should be like, yeah, I got to go to church today. I get to go hear about Jesus. Amen. I get to go fellowship with other believers. It shouldn't be like, well, I got to get ready for church today. No, it should be a joyous time. It should be a happy time. Every time these doors are open, it should be a celebration. We should celebrate whether we have singing. We should celebrate whether we have homecoming. We should celebrate whether we have a meal. We should celebrate whether we have a business meeting. We should celebrate whether we have a Bible study. Anytime we come together in the house of God to join and open the Word of God should be a time of celebration. And we should enjoy that time together. We should look forward to it. It was such a joyous time for them that even the debts were canceled. Wouldn't that be nice if we still had that practice today? Wouldn't it be nice that at the end of every 7 years, all our debts were canceled? That'd be kind of cool. And so we see that it was a time of joy. And it should be a time of joy for us too. We see that it was for all the people. The message of the Lord is for all people to hear. All Israel was to appear before God so that the law could be read before all people. It was for men, it was for women, it was for children, and it was for the foreigners. All the people were to follow the same rules and guidelines as laid out in the law of Moses. This is something that I love. Do you know that the rule of the Bible applies to all people the same way? You know, we like to think, well, this law applies to me. This doesn't apply to me. Well, with the Bible, everything in the Bible applies to all of us the same way. And I love that. It's the same rules. It's the same guidelines for all people. And all of them were to follow it. And this is interesting. We need to understand the faith that it would have taken the people for every man, woman, boy, and girl to come to the appointed place every 7 years, leaving their land unprotected and unattended, knowing that it would be safe when they got back home because God protected them so that they could come and hear His word and to hear His law. And so they would come before God, have a great and joyous time, hear the word of God so that they could fear and obey the word of God. To fear God is to stand in awe and respect Him for who He is and what He has done. And we've talked a lot about this lately and how this is one of the things that we've lost in our world today, where there's no fear of God anymore. There's no holy reverence for God. We talk about how there used to be a time when you didn't have to lock your church doors. You didn't have to have security systems in place because people respected the church enough not to do anything nefarious in the church. But that's not the world that we live in anymore because people don't respect God. They don't fear Him. They don't stand in awe of Him. And sadly, we see it in the church. If I'm about to get a little fun, okay? If the people of God feared God like they were supposed to, we would never want for anything financially because every member would be tithing their 10%. If you are not tithing your 10%, it's because you don't fear and respect God like you should. Because the Bible commands it, not the preacher. The Bible commands that we give a tenth, a tithe. That word tithe in Hebrew means 10%. That's where the 10% comes from. The literal Hebrew means 10%. If you have to ask if it's from your gross or your net, then your heart's not even in the right place to begin with. And I always tell people, well, do you tithe on your taxes? Well, no, then you got to tithe your gross. If you're going to tithe on your taxes, then you can give your net. And so, you know, when we don't give our 10%, it's because we don't respect and fear God like we should. Because if we did, we'd be giving what God says. We'd be serving Him like we're supposed to. We'd be reading His Word every day. We'd be listening to His Holy Spirit. But so often, there's everything else takes precedent in our life over God, and we only have time for God if nothing else is going on. And it drives me, and again, this is me, so, but it drives me crazy when parents schedule the birthdays on Sundays. Why don't you schedule it on Saturday? Or at least in the afternoon. Well, I'm going to schedule a birthday party at 12 or 1 o'clock on a Sunday so I don't have to go to church. What are you teaching your children? Church ain't important. My birthday is more important than church. But how often do we do that and not even think or realize? Because again, we've lost a fear of God. Because 20, 30 years ago, nothing competed with church on Sundays. 20, 30 years ago, nothing was opened on Sunday but church. And now, everything competes for the church. Everything competes for our time with God. So to fear Him is to stand in awe of Him. It's something that we've lost in our world today. And to obey Him is to do what He says. It's the same Hebrew word we saw last week, which means to listen, hear, and obey. It's more than just hearing. It's actually listening and obeying and put it into practice. And so not only was this word for the people of that day, but it was also to be taught to the next generation. And so the last thing that we see is it was the word to the next generation, as verse 13 says, and that their children who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land which you crossed the Jordan to possess. So this message that Moses has written down, this law and this commands that was given to him by God that he gave to the priest, it was also for the next generation. The law was for the children who did not know. We must teach the next generation the truths of Jesus. We are to bring them in and teach them the truth of what the Bible says. This is why parents need to have their children in church. Now, sometimes kids are sick, and that's understandable. And sometimes there's good reasons not to be in church. But the majority of the time, parents just don't bring their kids to church. What's wrong with our world today is there's a lack of discipleship. Instead of teaching the next generation the ways of the Lord, we complain about them. Instead of taking time to invest in the future generation, we complain about how they walk around with their pants dragging to the ground. Or how they've got piercings and tattoos and how their hair's sticking up to here. And stop complaining and start teaching them. If you got a problem with the way this generation acts, then do something about it. Invest in their lives. We need to remember that in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, that passage does not apply to just pastors. It applies to every single member, every single Christian, every single child of God. And so we have an obligation to go and grow. We have an obligation to teach the next generation the Word of God. If you have a problem with how this generation lives and acts, well, stop complaining and start teaching them about Jesus. Start investing in their lives. When I look at the world today, I see very few men growing up. I see a lot of little boys that don't know how to love their wives, that don't know how to raise their children, that don't know how to be men. Why? Because the men haven't taught them how to be men. The men haven't taught them how to be men. Men, are you investing in somebody else's life? Are you teaching them about Jesus? Are you teaching the younger men how to live and act? Women, are you teaching the younger women how to be good wives and good mothers? Instead of complaining, we need to teach them. What they heard, they needed to teach. So what was it that needs to be taught? To fear the Lord. We need to teach the future generation to fear the Lord. We need to teach them the respect that goes into it. Hey, church is in a special time. Church, the Bible is a special time. We need to teach them to stand in awe, to respect, and to fear God. We are to teach them to carefully follow the law. This is what the Bible says. This is what we need to do. We need to teach them to pass on what they learn. Children need to learn at home and in group settings. Children need to learn at home from their parents, and they need to learn in church. And we need to teach them to do this as long as they are in the land. Had the people obeyed and feared the Lord like they were supposed to, they would have never got kicked out of the land and taken captive. But they were taken into captivity because they failed to fear the Lord and obey Him. So today, as we close, today we have a duty to protect the Word of God. That is, to teach it how it should be without watering it down or making it say what we want. We need to teach the Word in its truth. And again, this is where I get myself in trouble sometimes, and I'm okay with that, because I'm going to preach the Word how it says it, not how people want to hear it. I'm going to preach the Bible the way the Bible says it. This is what the Bible says. This is what the Word of God says. And that's what we need, because look around. How many churches have compromised the truth for popularity? How many churches have compromised the truth for full churches? We cannot compromise the truth. Today we have a duty to protect the Word. Today we have a duty to teach the Word. People cannot live out what they do not know. We need to help people see the truth of the Word. If people don't know what the Word says, they can't live it out. And today we have a duty to raise up followers of Jesus. We are to teach our kids and the kids of the world the truth of Jesus. We are to let them be a part of the things that we do, so they too can serve God and follow after Him. I love when children are able to be involved in what the church is doing, whether it's singing in the choir. That's a good thing. Whether it's being a part of different ministries, it breaks my heart when I hear church members complain about children in the choir or children coming to different types of ministries. That's our duty. That's our job, to invest in children. Why are you complaining because they want to come to a ministry? What's wrong with us? We should be excited when children are getting up and singing, or when they're getting involved in missions, or when they're helping with the sound, or when they want to come to church, or when they want to come to Sunday school, or when they want to be involved in our ministries. That should bring joy to our hearts, not lead to us complaining because kids are there. And we wonder what's wrong with our church today, because it's become about us instead of them. Well, we don't feel comfortable talking about certain things when children are around. So it's about you then. I get it. It's not about the gospel. It's not about growing in Jesus Christ. It's about, this is what makes me feel comfortable. And that's what's wrong with our world today. It's become about us and not the lost. It's become about us being comfortable in our little pews, in our little seats, in our little groups, in our little cliques, and not about the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a reminder, there are over 3.6 million people lost in South Carolina alone. 3.6 million people in South Carolina dying and going to hell. And we complaining about somebody's pants or somebody's kids. We need to raise up followers of Jesus. We need to raise up the next generation. Why are so many churches closing their doors? Because the older generation is dying and they've done absolutely nothing to reach the younger generation. They've put that on the pastors or the leaders. So many churches are closing their doors because the older generation is dying, going home to be with the Lord, and there's nobody left to take their place. And that's heartbreaking. What is God saying to us today? Do we love the written Word of God? Do we love God's Word? Do we share it with others? Do we invest in the next generation? I want each of us to ask ourselves this question. What am I doing? Not what is the church doing? I'm going to make this personal this morning. What am I doing personally to invest in the next generation for Jesus? Lord, I thank you for this passage. I thank you for this text. And I thank you for the challenge that Moses gave to the people of Israel and the challenge that comes to us. Lord, there is nothing as important as Jesus. And all around us, people are lost and dying and going to hell. And we need to be about the message of Jesus. We need to be about telling people about Jesus. And Lord, there might be someone here today who has never made that decision to give their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. And the Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus. And so I pray, Lord, I pray that they would come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that they would come to know Him, to live for Him. And Lord, I pray that You would be with us as a church, that we would teach and train the truth of the gospel. I pray that we would never waver from what this book says, that for us it would not be about popularity, but it would be about the truth of the gospel, that it would never be about, yes, we want to see these pews filled with people, but we want them coming for the right reason, not because we're catering to them, but because we're preaching the word, because we're preaching the gospel, because we are teaching the truth of the word, and that help us to be the men and women that You've called us to be. Lord, move as only You can in Your church. Change us, transform us, mold us, and make us into Your image to be the people that You have called us to be. Lord, we thank You. We love You. We give this time to You. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.